Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett, and welcome to Something's Off, a true crime podcast where we question everything all the time, every day. I'm on my own today because Miss Rebecca Lavoy is on vacation, as many of you know. And today we're going to be doing sort of a quick stream. I have a pretty hard out today, but we're going to try to get through most of the Lindsay Clancy trial day three. There were several witnesses, some of them very repetitive. And I'm not going to play all of the testimony because I think it's repetitive, but I want to discuss it with y'all and break down each witness, and was interested to see that Kevin Reddington actually cross-examine some of these witnesses. They were mostly first responders to the scene. Some of it is harrowing. Even the first responders got emotional on the stand. It's difficult to watch, so I don't want to play a lot of it. I do want to talk about it, and then just give you sort of an update of what's to come in the next week. And we're going to do all of that after a very quick break. Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoy, allegedly. I'm smart.
Happy Monday, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoy. Happy gay summer, Mel.
Happy hump day, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm not humping anybody. I'm Rebecca Lavoy.
Happy Saturday, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
Oh, no.
I'm Rebecca Lavoy, and my mic is muted.
Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoy, and that's Briscoe.
And welcome to Something's Off, a true crime podcast where we swat the haters aside with our astute takes and humor and joy.
Oh, the joylessness of those people. Hags.
You hear it first in the break in the story. One little crack and the whole thing gets wary. A witness swears, but the timeline bends. A smile too smooth and the trail just ends. Mel Barrett says, hold up, look again. Rebecca Lavoy follows every thread. If it feels too neat, then it's not the truth. There's a shadow line running through the room. Something's off, something's off. You can feel it in the bone. Something's off, something's off. When the facts won't come home. Something's off, something's off. And the case won't stay in place. Something's off. We're the ones who chase.
We're gonna go members only.
Yeah, we're the ones who chase. Wait, did that witness just blink three times? Something's off. Something's off.
I love our song. I don't get tired of it. I sing it all day. I hope you guys do too. I hope it's an earworm for you, as like it is for me. Again, welcome to Something's Off. I'm Mel Barrett, your solo host today because Rebecca is on vacay. Right off the top, I just want to say thanks to everybody who's in the chat and tell you all that I think you're amazing and that you're the best audience. And though we do talk about these really horrific, difficult cases sometimes, we try to lighten the mood with some humor. I hope that that's not offensive to anybody, but it's the best way to get through this. These are really important cases. This Lindsay Clancy case it's awful. It makes me feel sad and overwhelmed with anxiety for all the people involved. But it's so, so, so important because whatever happens in this case is going to affect cases moving forward for women and mental health and partnerships and how we handle, you know, postpartum psychosis and depression. And it's shining a light on these, you know, really awful things that folks go through and how hard some of us work to make sure that our mental health is taken care of. And when the medical industry and prescribers and physicians fail us, it's really important to talk about it. So I've been very open on this stream about mental health and different medications that I've been on and my experiences. And I'm not saying any of that to garner any sympathy. I am just saying that talking about my experiences because I think it's important and I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me or anything like that. This is just my experiences and how I perceive the testimony that's happening in this trial and this story. So What I will say also right off the top is protect yourselves. If this is too difficult to listen to, I completely get it. And you're welcome to watch on replay and fast forward through the difficult bits or not watch at all. Totally get it. If you want really good legal analysis of what's happening in this trial, this case, please go watch Defense Diaries coverage of it as well. Bob and Allie and their kid, Cameron, are doing a great job covering this trial and breaking down what's happening legally. The one thing I do understand legally about this trial is that the state, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, has to prove that Lindsay Clancy, and they have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, that Lindsay Clancy was not sane when this act happened, or that she was sane, sorry. They have to prove that she was sane at the moment of this act. And so far, I'm giving them a big thumbs down. Big fail. They're not handling this with the right demeanor. The two women who are prosecuting this, Sprague, and I can't remember the other woman's name, they're coming off, in my opinion, as callous, overkill, everything. So we're going to get into this day of testimony, which was another difficult day of testimony. I'll say that. The whole day was first responders. Now, if you remember in the pretrial hearings, Kevin Reddington, who is Lindsay Clancy's attorney, made a big argument that this is repetitive and there's no need for it. We all know what happened because Lindsay has said she did this. She's admitted to this. So dragging the jury and the family and these first responders through all the horrific details of what happened to these three small children, it's tasteless. It's gross. I understand some of the legal aspects of it. I understand that the prosecutors are trying to play on the jury's sympathies for these children, as they should. But this was a lot. This was too much, in my opinion. Let me see what's happening over here in the chat before we go on. One other thing I wanted to mention. If you need a break, if you need a moment of levity, go check out Brother Counsel's stream on an article that was written by an anonymous lawyer about the ARCA experts in the Karen Reed case. It's probably Plevin. Let's just be honest. More than likely, it's Plevin who wrote this article. Sounds like him. Sounds like his voice. And it's basically being like, what? He's basically saying the ARCA witnesses didn't have all the information and they couldn't have done what they, you know, they couldn't have come up what they came up with and yada, yada. And all of the same arguments the antis have been saying forever, because they're combating basically when we say John O'Keefe was not hit by a car and a car did not hit John O'Keefe. That's the reason for this article. Sorry, hold on a sec. Oh, I love lovey text messages first thing in the morning. They're amazing. I also love tips. Tip your server. We have posted all of the links to how you can tip us. They are pinned in the comments. They are also at the top of the screen. The QR code up in the upper right of the screen, and then the Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal are listed at the top of the screen. If you are able to and feel so inclined, please send over a tip. YouTube doesn't take anything from our tips, just the super chats and memberships. Let's talk quickly. Hold on. Let me get into the chat, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the schedule that's coming up. Good morning, Venus Blue Cupcake. I love it when I see the cupcakes in the audience. Wendy says it's a horrible tragedy. I've been in behavioral health and public health for 30 years. We still to this day have made very little progress, in my opinion. I would agree with that completely, Wendy, though I don't have your experience. But also, thanks for doing what you do. Oh, Home Slice, time for some Melevision. I might steal that. Can I steal that, Home Slice? Melevision. That's good. One of my original emails was melrevision@gmail.com. And that's because I feel like I'm constantly reinventing myself. I stay within this field of media, but, you know, I was, as many of you know, I was a filmmaker. I was a screenwriter first, and then I was a filmmaker, a producer, director, an editor. I'm still an editor. I'm still a producer, but I've moved into the podcast sphere, and I have to say, this is my favorite version of my career. I love doing what I do. I love doing this. I love being here with you guys. This is actually a new evolution as well, because Rebecca and I used to record everything, and then I would edit it, and then I put it out. But we've really, really, really moved into our love of like live to tape, being with an audience. It's so energetic. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I wish I could do lives every day with y'all, even if we were just hanging out. I might try to do that a little bit while Rebecca's gone, just to fill the space because I miss her. But I love doing what I do. I love being here with y'all. Let's see. Skeet says her lawyer should tell the judge to have the Commonwealth lose the damn bows. I can't tell you how many people get, like, this goes all the way back to the Pam Smart trial days. The amount of people who get pissed off when someone in the courtroom that is involved in the case wears a bow in their hair, a woman who wears a bow in their hair. I agree. I thought Pam shouldn't have worn that bow. It was awful. It made her look like an asshole. And these prosecutors with their stupid bows makes them look like assholes. Just my opinion. But I agree with you on that one. Mental health meds are no joke, Weird Girl says. Agreed. Dizzy says, I don't understand why Judge Sullivan didn't sustain his objections or grant Reddington motion. It's prejudicial as well as cumulative. Agreed. And the way that I understand it is, I assume you're talking about the repetitive nature of these first responder witnesses. They had a lot of sidebars in the trial yesterday, and that was because, as I understand it, the judge ruled that Reddington could bring up his objections at sidebar as the case moved on, and I think that's probably what he was doing. But the judge, you know, let the people keep taking the stand. We had a ton of witnesses yesterday. It was a lot of witnesses. The good news is that we're moving through the case pretty fast. Reddington only cross-examined a couple of them, and he was so funny when he did it, because his cross-examination, you can tell that, like, I hope he becomes a judge someday, honestly, because you can tell Reddington is such a pro and so experienced in the courtroom that instead of being like, objection, or, you know, when he gets up to do his cross, he immediately just like, bam, starts asking questions. And you're like, I think the witnesses were taken aback, but he understands this case so well that it's almost like a conversation with the witnesses, as opposed to this like legal practice, you know. And I don't know how the jury is taking Reddington in. I think for some people, he probably comes off as like old white dude yelling at us. I like his style. I like what he's doing. I like how passionate he is. So it doesn't bother me, although I'm not in the courtroom. If I were in the courtroom, maybe it would seem like he was like yelling at all of us. I don't know, but I like what he's doing. Let's see. Interesting comment, Amanda. Was too much for sure. Prosecution better take it easy on the grandparents. I feel like an older juror won't take well to them treating them the way they treated Patrick. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know why the grandparents need to be on the stand. You've already had Patrick testify that both sets of grandparents came into the house to help. I know the grandparents are going to give their observations, but as far as I understand it, the grandparents are on Lindsay's side. I mean, well, not on her side, but they believe in Lindsay's insanity defense. So great comment, Wendy. Justice is not always served by putting people in prison, especially with our for-profit prison system in this country. Agreed completely. Good morning, date night disaster. I love you back. Good morning, Rhonda. Dana likes the prosecutor. There's two of them. There's two women. Let me know which one. I assume that you're talking about Sprague. But we are open to other opinions, obviously, here. So I'd like to know why you like the prosecutor, because I think a lot of people are like, I don't like her. Yeah, I saw Sam Beningo's video yesterday. I saw parts of it about the case. And I think people were on the fence about Sam's opinions about this case because she does work in the mental health field. So she has, she's an expert in this field. And I think people were worried because she was on the fence about a couple of things, but I think she was pretty clear in her stream yesterday. So I would go watch it for sure. Okay, let's see. Jen said, hey, Klutz. Hit the like. Yes, please hit the like on your way in and on your way out. Oh, thanks, Audrey. Audrey says, I love Life Mel and Rebecca. You guys are the best. Thank you. I miss Rebecca. I'm sure you guys do too. Maria said, Mel, good morning. As a celebrity makeup artist, 90% of the PR I do now with clients or podcasts. That's really interesting. But you do the makeup for their like promo shoots, I would assume, or are you doing it for live podcasts like what we're doing here? I could use a celebrity makeup artist in my life. I did not have a celebrity makeup artist this morning, and I've been up since 6 a.m. and it's a very busy day for us because we are traveling as soon as I'm done with this stream. And I didn't get to do the full face today. So I would love to have a makeup artist. That would be amazing. Amazing. Okay. He is passionate. What did Amanda say? He is passionate. He is. Good morning, Amy. Geez, it's early in San Diego, my friend. 5 a.m. over there. Thanks for being with us. I'll show you how it's relevant. Yeah, that's a quote. That's a direct quote from Kevin Reddington. I love it. When she was like, one of the objections from the prosecution, I think it was, when she was like, objection, relevance. And he was like, I'll show you how it's relevant. I was like, this guy, he doesn't give a shit about, he's like, rule schmools. I'm going to make my case. All right, there's Reddington. People seem to like Reddington in the chat, so that's good. I hope that's representative of the jury. I hope you guys are representative of the jury. I hear the 17-year-old. She's running down the stairs because she's probably late for work. No, she's not. She's good. She's good. Amanda, this is interesting. Oh, Sue O'Connell, who is in the courtroom and live tweeting, Sue O'Connell said one of the jurors was nodding along with Reddington when he talked about the blood and the cold. Good. Because I remember in that when he was talking about the blood and the cold, and he was talking about the crime scene. This is when one of the times that he actually cross-examined a witness, he talked about, he was like, it was cold that day. And the witness was like, yeah, it was pretty cold. And then Reddington goes, it was wicked cold. And the first responder was like, yeah, it was pretty freaking cold. It was wicked cold. And I'm like, what's the scientific determination of wicked cold? I love it. Dana said, Dana's making a prediction. She will be convicted. The jury will not get past the violence of the crime. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We don't know yet. This is a great point. Stephanie says, he's the perfect lawyer for her. If old white dude can understand PPD, we can all understand PPD. And this, in this case, it was PPD into PPP, which is postpartum psychosis. And my thoughts exactly, Reddington might be coming off as an old yelly white man, but if an old yelly white man can be like, look at this woman, look what she's been through, look what the medical industry did to her, and that he can understand the psychosis of it, I think the older jury, from what I've heard, majority women will understand it as well. But we'll see. Oh my God, D-Cools, this was such a funny moment. This was day two, I believe, when he seemingly asked the court what a URL was. Oh God, this is so funny and sad. It's funny and sad. You know, what are you going to do? I feel like Kevin Reddington is actually giving me like life for this trial, because his sense of humor and the way that he asks questions and the way that he goes about things makes me laugh. And that's so, so, so helpful. Sprague is just cruel. It seems that way. She may not be a cruel person, Dizzy, but she's coming off that way. In my opinion, she's coming off that way. I think Dana likes her, but eek. I know. I wish he could be a judge. I'm just saying, like, I know he's 74. He probably can't be a judge. But man, if he was, I feel like he would be the best judge. He reminds me of that judge, that old dude. He goes viral all the time for his the way he speaks to defendants and how kind he is. And I'll never forget, the judge's name, but there was a video where this old guy had gotten some kind of a ticket. I don't know if it was speeding. I don't know what it was. But he let the old guy stand up and be like, "I'm really sorry, my wife died," or something. And he just let him explain his personal. And the judge was like, dismissed, basically. This is crazy that we're doing this. And he's such a like lovely, kind man. And I really wish that there were, I feel like judges need to be sat for their kindness, for how they can differentiate like motive, intent, and who a human being is. Maybe that's just me being like, you know, a bleeding heart liberal, but I don't know. Okay. Let's talk about schedule really quick. Then we're going to get into this. I'm going to try to keep this. I probably need to leave around like 9:30-ish. So we're going to keep it pretty tight today. C2F says, very difficult to obtain a not guilty by reason of insanity. Yes, but very clearly, Lindsay Clancy was having a mental psychosis. Like, she was having psychosis. She had a break. Yeah. Allison said, do you remember when he walked over to the clerk's desk and just took her stapler and used it? So funny. I laughed so hard when that happened. He was admitting something into evidence, and it was a packet of papers. It was like messages or records or something like that. He just walks around the courtroom. He walks right up to the clerk's desk, grabs a stapler, staples his paper, hands it back, and then goes on about his business. The guy is so comfortable in a courtroom. I think that the jury will trust him for that, you know, but who knows? Jacqueline says, I have completely lost my trust in the judicial system. I haven't completely lost it, but I am on a razor's edge. I understand. Nora says, we all know that wicked cold is in fact scientific. Yeah, it's like enough snow to track a cat. Totally scientific. Let's see. Reddington is on his game. I really like Reddington. So the audience here really seems to like Reddington. I think that's good for Lindsay. Let's see. Dizzy says, I don't know about that. Older generations feel like mothers should just get on with it. I agree. But that's why I think that Reddington is so important, Dizzy, because he's explaining to the people who might be of his generation, she couldn't just get on with it. And here are all the reasons why, because the medical industry screwed her over by over-medicating her. I think that the older generation also thinks that we shouldn't be taking all these meds. And if they're hearing that doctors way over prescribed her, I think that might help them, you know, get past the mom should just get on with it, which I totally agree with you though. Hey, Amanda. Good morning, love. Everyone say hi and thank you to Amanda because she is amazing and she does our chapters for us, which is a huge, huge, huge help. And I certainly appreciate it. Okay. All right, let me get this moving here. Well, this is a good comment. Hold on. CC Beaches says, I'm waiting for testimony about her course of treatment. Don't feel like we have enough background, just bits. Patrick had limited experience and trusted Elsie's decisions, judgment through it all. Oh, Megan, thanks for the tip. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for all you do. I appreciate y'all. CC Beach, I understand. I think the jury is going to need that too. I did a pretty deep, we actually read through the civil complaint that Lindsay filed, that breaks down every single thing that happened to her with the prescriptions. And so though the jury doesn't know about that and doesn't have access to it, I think it's important for us to understand it. And so if you want to watch that video, it's called Scapiccio's Papers, because Rosemary Scapiccio filed that civil suit for her. So, and then I think Patrick also has a separate civil suit for the loss of his children based on medical malpractice. So, Amanda said, I think an older jury will also be annoyed with a bow on an adult. I agree. Especially one in Massachusetts. Okay. Yeah, Becky says, Becky RN, thanks for being an RN. I don't know how you do it. You're amazing. And Nurse Mandy also is here. Thank you, Nurse Mandy, for your work. You guys, nurses don't get enough credit. Nurses and teachers, man, they don't get enough credit or money. Becky says, we were told to basically suck it up even when we felt it was wrong. Yep. I think women in general are told to suck it up, you know, not even women who aren't, you know, mothers, for many aspects, of their lives, they're told to suck it up. Audrey, thanks so much for the tip. Audrey says, have the best vacation. I appreciate all your hard work and time invested. Thank you. It's not really a big vacation for me. it's a big vacation because I love where I'm going, but we live about 2.5 hours away from Rehoboth Beach in Delaware. That's our local beach. Well, not local, but that's our local summer spot. So I don't want to call this a vacation, because we are taking, for all the moms in the chat, all the parents in the chat, I should say, we are taking 6 17-year-old girls with us to the beach for a couple of days. And so basically tonight through Sunday, we're going to have 6 17-year-old girls in a house together at the beach. So it's kind of a vacation. It'll be a vacation on Sunday night when they all go home. Lindsay and I will be there for Sunday night through Tuesday morning. I will be streaming from Rehoboth. So Monday morning, here I can get into the schedule. This is a great transition. Thanks, guys. Monday morning at 9:30 a.m., I am going to be streaming with my co-host, Emily C. And we're going to be breaking down some of the FOIA and find out stuff. So that'll be a really good one. I also want to get her opinion on the Lindsay Clancy case, because A, she lives in that area, and B, she is a mom, as many of you know. And so I think it's really interesting to have a young mother's perspective, and Emily C is our young mother's perspective for this one. But yeah, we're going to be talking, we're going to go in depth, I think, on the FOIA stuff. So I'm really excited about that. Tuesday, I will probably be doing an earlier stream, but it's going to be in the afternoon. So I would say probably around 2-ish, you know, keep an eye out for that. But then even better, at 7 p.m. that night, I am going to be streaming in a members only with one Miss Ellen Marie Marsh from I Think Not and Shut the Fuck Up Nick Lachey, who is one of my best friends. And we are going to have a really good time. We're going to talk about true crime stuff, because Ellen also covers true crime. She and Joey do a show that's called The Rundown, and they break down the week's true crime stuff. So we're going to be talking about some other true crimey stuff outside of Lindsay Clancy and Karen Reed. And we're also going to be probably talking about some hot gossip. I mean, just to be fair, it is a members only. So if you are not a member, you're probably going to want to become a member. The lower tier of membership is $2.99. The upper tier of membership is $5.99. This one will be open to all members. And normally, Rebecca and I do our cross roast on Monday nights, which is where I try to give her secondhand embarrassment by showing her testimony from awkward witnesses, mostly in the Karen Reed trial. So we'll be missing our cross roast next week, but we'll have Ellen in on Tuesday night for a members only kind of cross roast. And then Wednesday, I'm going to have Ms. Sarah Carradine in from Crime Scene. And we're going to be talking about Lindsay Clancy stuff more than likely. But I will also be on Crime Scene later that week. We'll be recording an episode talking about the Kohlberger, the new documentary that's out about the Kohlberger schmurders. On Thursday, I think I'm doing a solo stream on Thursday, but I'm also going to be on, if Thursday is the 6th, which I think it is, I'm going to be on Maggie Freeling's new show later on in the day and doing a solo for you guys earlier in the day. And then Friday, we're ending the week with a bang. It's going to be me and Jimmy, a.k.a. Auntie Deb, on Friday at noon. And it's going to be very gay is the only thing I can say. So the next week is going to be jam-packed. I will be, like I said, streaming from the beach on Monday. And Tuesday I'll be back in the studio. So please, please, please come join us. Come join the members only. We're going to have a ton of fun on Tuesday night with Ellen. It's probably going to be crazy. I've got to get some gummies. I'm out of gummies. I've got to get some gummies before Tuesday, because I think most of you know that the way that Ellen and I know each other is because we met during the pandemic when I lived in Boston and she was in Jersey, and we became like sort of TikTok friends. So we would do streams together on TikTok, but our friendship really blossomed when at night we would each take a gummy and we would get on the phone for like 2 or 3 hours, and we didn't really know each other. We would just talk for like 2 or 3 hours and both of us would be a little high. And we were really funny. So I was like, let's take this on the road, you know? So we started doing some TikToks together. It was fun. But that's probably what Tuesday is going to be like. It's pretty much just going to be the two of us being stupid, I'm sure. Hopefully that's entertaining to you. Okay. 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 I always feel like I have to get through the comments before I can get on, you know, move on. But I'm going to have to star some of these and probably move on from it. Here's one that I will star. Get back to that. Wait, I have to look at these comments about women being like, taking six 17-year-olds to the beach. Hello, Emily C. Hello, Rob. Yeah, Steve says, I worked in Rehoboth Beach at Staples years ago, upgrading their network. They told me it was the P-Town of the Mid-Atlantic. It is. It's our P-Town. I used to go to P-Town when I lived in Boston, but now I have a big gay beach at Rehoboth. It's amazing. I love Rehoboth. It's such a cool, relaxed vibe. The best food, the best boardwalk. It's such a it's such a walkable city to our town. I don't know. I guess it's considered a town. I also, whenever I go to Rehoboth, I get to play at Dave Marshall's tennis facility. And Dave Marshall is a pretty big time like coach of the pros, tennis pros. And he shows up on the weekends and he trains all of us. So I get to go play with, I get to go be trained by this amazing tennis pro named Dave. But you know what I'm doing first today? When we get into town, Lindsay and I are both getting massages. I woke up in the middle of the night with the worst Charlie horse I've ever had in my life. And I got it fixed. I like was able to like stick my fist into my calf and get it done. And then it came back like with a vengeance. I couldn't move my foot. I was doing the like silent scream of pain. I was trying not to wake Lindsay up. Ugh, I cannot wait to get a massage. And I don't often get to have massages. I used to be married to a massage therapist, so I used to have regular massages. That was pretty great. I miss that. I don't miss anything else, but I miss that. And now I can only get massages like maybe once every few months, sometimes once a year. So this is like, this is it for me. So I'm really excited. Teresa, thank you so much for the Cash App. Thanks for the tip. $5. Appreciate you. Okay. Let's see. Amanda said, I had much more secondhand embarrassment with Higgy. I did a little bit. I felt really embarrassed for the guy because he was totally being played. Totally. And he's such a dummy. Again, that's me in the blue bubbles. You guys should go back. If you're members, I see a bunch of green screen names in here. Go back if you didn't watch the last Crossroads we did. Man, it was funny. Aw, thanks, Lexi, for the 350 jewels. I don't know what a finger heart is, but I hope you guys were able to see it. I can't see it in from StreamYard, but okay, I think I've gotten to the bottom here. I take Becky. Thank you for saying this. Magnesium is good for cramps. I take magnesium. I actually had taken 3 magnesium capsules before I went to bed last night, hoping that it would like help my muscles recover. Because yesterday I had training in the morning. So I trained for 2.5 hours on the courts. And then I ended up going over to the City Open, which is our like local big, huge tennis tournament. And I walked all day and I got to see some amazing tennis. I can't believe I had I have never had a Charlie horse the way I had a Charlie horse last night at like 3 o'clock in the morning. It was awful, awful. Okay. I've done it. I think I've gotten through everything. I'm going to go ahead and pull this up, and we're not watching this, just so you know. As you can see on the side of the screen on the right, I have pulled all the time code for all the witnesses. Look how many witnesses there were yesterday. Every single one of these people was a first responder. Can you guys see it? Every single one of those people, first responder. And I'm just like, what are we doing here, you guys? So what I'm going to do is, if I think it's important, like some of the cross-examination I think is important. So I'm going to pull that up because I think Kevin Reddington did a great job. He was very, very, very concise in his crosses. So I'm going to just recap sort of what these witnesses went over. So let me grab the first one here. Hold on. So you, just so you can see who this person is. All right, so this is the first officer, or Officer Stephen Hall took the stand, and Stephen Hall told us he testified that upon arriving at the home, he ran to the backyard and heard Patrick Clancy calling for help, distraught and confused. Patrick was in the backyard with Lindsay at the time, and then Stephen Hall followed Patrick into the home when Patrick discovered the children in the basement. So I'm going to play the cross-examination of this one because I find it very interesting. Let me just get to it here. Yeah, they showed pictures. It was awful. One of the first responders broke down on the stand. And I know that first responders are supposed to have, they're supposed to be like, matter of fact, they're just there to give the facts of the case. But this is too much for some of them. I mean, we talked about this when we were going through the Kelsey Fitzsimmons case. The officers, Kelsey and, oh shit, I can't remember his name right now. The guy who looked like Santa, like emo hipster Santa. The guy who worked with Kelsey, he was her partner on a couple of things. There's some blood on the floor. They witnessed a horrific scene where a mother unalived her child and herself, and they showed up on the scene to handle it. These first responders deal with so much post-traumatic stress. And I don't think we give them enough credit. All right. I think I just got to cross. Let me see if I can just pull it up this way. Hold on. Cross of Stephen Hall. I love this ask feature on YouTube. YouTube is really great. I mean, some of the things they do are kind of dumb, like taking 30% from creators, but Their other functions are really great. All right, let me make sure the volume is up here. Let me make sure we are at regular speed. I'm going to do playback. We'll go up to 130. Okay, y'all ready for this?
All right. Rankin.
This is the cross-examination of this witness.
Thank you for your incredible service.
All right. So you may sit down. Thank you. Thank you.
Wait, that was it? Hold on, hold on. Oh, yeah, he just said thank you. Sorry.
Thank you for your...
I think he was about to ask questions. I thought this was a really interesting moment. That's what I wanted to talk about. I thought this was an interesting moment. You can hear Reddington flip through his pages, and he got up, and it looked like he was going to cross this guy. And then he just said, thank you for your incredible service. So I don't know if he changed his mind. I'm not sure exactly what he was doing here, but it seemed to me like he was going to cross this guy, and he chose not to. So, all right, on to the next one. Brian Josephine. All right, so here, that's Brian Josephine. Let's give him a better, yeah, that pretty much tells us everything we need to know. So in Brian's direct, he testified that he and Officer Hall approached the basement. Patrick Clancy ran toward them screaming, quote, she unalived the effing kids, end quote. That was the biggest part of his testimony. And Reddington chose not to cross this guy. Michelle, thank you so much for the $20 tip. Thanks for being you, Mel. Thanks for being you, Michelle. I appreciate you. All right, let's, and I don't want you guys to think that I'm just like skipping through this to try to like, you know, talk us all through this, but I am for a reason. And that reason is because the prosecution put a bunch of pictures up. They went into detail about these poor children, and I don't feel comfortable airing that. The cross-examinations of these witnesses deals mostly with Lindsay's injuries and what Lindsay was going through. Kevin really stays away from the kids for the most part, which I think was smart on his part. And also, we don't need to hear it. We know what happened to these children. And it's horrific. And it's just, this was repetitive and painful. This is Captain PJ Hussey. Hussey?
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
He described running into the basement and coming across this horrific scene. He says he observed Patrick Clancy frantically attempting to unwrap an exercise band. I'm not going to go into details about that. He said he did note that the scene turned chaotic very quickly. And Kevin Reddington did not cross-examine this guy because there was a lot going on. What they established was that these first responders, mostly from Duxbury. So these three people have been from Duxbury. Most of these first responders came because the call came in about Lindsay. So when they got there, they were all dealing with Lindsay and her injuries. And then when Patrick went to go look for the children and they heard Patrick screaming, they all ran to the basement. So they were split. The first responders were split. They had to call in backup. The backup came from Pembroke. So once that happened, they had an ambulance for everyone on the scene. So there would have been four ambulances. Lindsay was taken in one, and I think each of the children were taken in the other three. So chaotic scene, obviously. Kevin Reddington makes a good decision here to not cross-examine some of these people. But he's also so sharp because he recognizes when the prosecution is trying to do something shady, and he basically calls them out on it. So I appreciate that. Okay, so this was Captain PJ Hussey from the Duxbury Fire Department. He's a paramedic. And the next one we have is Loring. Oh my God, that bow. You guys, look at this bow. She wears it in her, she wears a different bow in her hair every day. But she doesn't bother doing anything with the rest of her head. And I don't understand it. If you're going to go to the lengths of wearing a big white bow in your hair, do something with your hair, lady. Ugh. All right, this guy, he's looks like a jolly fellow. This is Loring Chuck Nude, or Nud. He's from the Duxbury Fire Department. He is an EMT and a firefighter. He testified about arriving as police were carrying Dawson, who was the three-year-old, out of the home. One of the specific parts of testimony, there were first responders who literally scooped the children up in their arms and ran them outside to the ambulances. He testified that Dawson wasn't breathing, so EMTs performed CPR before taking any equipment into the basement. I can't remember how he pronounces his name, although I'm sure if I played it, they would tell us, but I don't want to get into this horrific testimony, so I'm not going to. He drove the ambulance carrying Dawson to Plymouth Hospital, and Reddington chose not to cross-examine this guy. Okay. Next, Keith. Captain Keith Nihil. This is Captain Keith. Let's see. Captain Keith Nettie Nihil. I think it's Nihil. Yeah. He testified that he saw Dawson, the three-year-old, receiving CPR in an ambulance when another child was brought out by the Marshfield. Oh, Marshfield was there as well. Fire department. He stepped in to assist with chest compressions. Reddington chose not to cross-examine this guy. Now, I mean, we're on, that's witness five. They've all said the same thing so far with degrees of horrific details. I just don't know. I don't know how the jury's going to take it. I don't know. I don't know enough about the jury to know what they're thinking. There is some reporting from inside the courtroom that it seems like they are, you know, nodding along with Reddington. So it seems like at least some of them get what the defense is doing, which I think is really bad for the prosecution. They just need one person to hang the jury. So this is Patrick Dwyer. He is a Duxbury firefighter and paramedic. He detailed the horrific injuries observed on the children. And he recounted a detail that Cora was very pale. Cora was 5 years old. She was the oldest child. No cross-examination on this guy. And this was an interesting testimony. This was the first woman who testified as a first responder. This is Jennifer Stratton. She's a paramedic. Her testimony was really emotional. I watched most of her testimony and was just like, she was very calm, very factual, not overly emotional. I thought she was really good, but she is one of the people who described scooping up, I think it was Dawson, and taking them out to the ambulance. Mostly she testified regarding the physical state and catastrophic injuries of the children. And that's it. It was the same. It was very similar to Dwyer's testimony. So again, I feel like they could have picked between Dwyer or Stratton. They didn't need both because they said almost the same things. And that's frustrating, in my opinion. Oh, this guy with his mustache. I forgot about him. Robert Costanzo. This is one of the places where Reddington does cross-examine. So let me pull up the cross-examination. Cross of Costanzo. That mustache, man. He's going for it. No, that's not him. Hold on a second. I'm off here somewhere. Jennifer Stratton, Robert Costanzo. Hold on, guys. Sorry. Maybe this is Costanzo, actually. No, this would be Daniel Doherty. Let's go back to Costanzo.
Great. It's Robert Costanzo, C-O-S-T-A-N-Z-O.
And
you did.
And
a little bit longer than that. I'm not.
I hate that they keep going to Lindsay.
Narcan to individuals in the past.
Okay, so this was interesting testimony because this guy was, he administered Narcan to Lindsay. Now, Narcan is used for overdoses for like drugs like fentanyl or heroin, right? You wouldn't necessarily give Narcan to somebody who had taken a bunch of prescription meds. So this was interesting because there was room to question this testimony on cross-examination. But Costanzo testified that he was treating Lindsay in the backyard after she jumped out of the window. He noted in his testimony that she became agitated and like was reaching out her arms, but never fully woke up. He administered Narcan to rule out or reverse potential drug overdose effects, but she remained unresponsive. When you give someone Narcan, generally they sort of come to in some way. They, you know, they're breathing again. They're responsive. He's saying she was never responsive to the Narcan. So this is interesting. So let me get to
the body that was laying on the ground. Yeah, she had already been
found that wake up, correct?
No.
Okay.
And when you get,
we're going to listen to the end of the prosecution's questioning that goes into the cross-examination. So here we go.
Gave Lindsay Clancy the Narcan. She did not wake up, correct?
No.
Did you provide any other care to Lindsay Clancy on the way to the hospital?
Just continued to monitor her vitals and make sure there was no decline.
And once you arrived at the hospital, did you transfer her care to the hospital staff?
Yes, we did.
No other questions?
All right. So you're not trained in Narcan on benzodiazepines, is that correct?
Yeah, we don't give it for benzodiazepines.
Right. And in any event, when you gave Narcan to the body that was laying on the ground, she had already been wrapped up on her wrist, right?
That's correct.
Already been wrapped up, had the thing on the neck to prevent the head from moving, right?
That's correct.
And also had bandages perhaps on her neck area, I'm not sure.
There were no bandages that I could see because the collar blocks, yeah, some, most of it I could see. There are some holes in the collar that we could see some superficial lacerations through,
right.
But there was no active bleeding. Her wrists were already bandaged, so we don't take the bandages off.
This is so good.
They're on.
Pay attention here.
No blood
good. I ask the questions you can answer, okay? Narcan administered to Lindsay Clancy on the ground, yes?
In the ambulance, but yes.
And there was no reaction. It didn't have any effect on her, right?
She appeared to become a little bit more, she started like reaching and grabbing a little bit more than she was before.
That's consistent as well with a person who's had a head injury, right?
Could be.
Yeah. So in any event, the Narcan that you're trained would be dealing with opioids, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, did you know, sir, at all that she suffered a burst fracture of a cervical spine? Did you know that, sir?
No.
T5 through T6, T4, 6, 7, 8, all exploded, fractured. Did you know that?
No.
Did you know that there was a hemorrhaging into her body, that she fractured every rib in her body?
No.
It was pretty dark out there, wasn't it?
It was.
Did you obviously administer aid to her? Or did you also have like a flashlight on your head? Were you holding a flashlight or what?
She was already packaged. She was already on the longboard and everything. So we picked her up, put her on the stretcher and moved out of the backyard into the ambulance.
So how long did you handle, if you will, her while she was laying there?
On scene. We were only on scene for, I think it was 7 minutes, I think, total on scene from the time that we.
Chaotic?
Yes.
And it was dark in the backyard, right?
Yes.
There was no exterior lighting, no nothing on the house that was lit up, like spotlights or anything, right?
That's correct.
No flashlights, right?
No.
And you scrutinized a hole in the thing that goes around the neck when someone has a head injury, especially a cervical injury, thoracic injuries. You scrutinized a hole and noted that there was a superficial wound to the neck.
That's all we could see through the side of the collar.
Who's waiting?
Me and my partner.
Was your partner scrutinizing the hole as well?
The hole, I don't know.
You said there's a hole in that, and the thing that goes around that.
Yeah, there's holes in the collar that you can see through.
Right, and you were scrutinizing. You were looking through it, right?
Yeah.
You saw the jury, sir.
Yes.
Superficial pattern of the neck, right?
Yes.
Did your partner look through the hole as well? And you've talked about your testimony with the district attorneys in the past, haven't you?
Yes.
One of the things that they asked you is whether or not It appeared as though the injuries to her neck or wrist were superficial. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And other than looking through the little hole and the thing around her neck in the dark, you didn't see her neck after that was removed, did you?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Coma, redirect.
Sir, after the 7 minutes that you were in the dark backyard, you were then in an ambulance for 18 minutes with the patient, correct?
That's correct.
And there's lighting in the ambulance, correct?
There is.
And during those 18 minutes in the well-lit ambulance, did you ever see blood seeping through the bandages on her wrists?
No.
During those 18 minutes in the well-lit ambulance, did you ever see blood pooling around her neck or flowing from the neck?
No.
Thank you.
All right. Any further? No. Thank you, sir. You sit down. Thank you.
So it's interesting. This testimony was really interesting to me because Reddington did such a good job explaining that it was dark, that she was wearing the collar already. So the collar, because of her injuries, and the collar only has like holes throughout, like around the collar. And this guy testified and said that they could see superficial wounds through the holes in the collar. And Reddington really slammed home the point that you're saying superficial. You are not an expert to be able to tell us if whether these wounds are superficial or not, if they were bleeding profusely or not because it was cold outside and blood is coagulating. You don't know how long she was outside. And superficial is a word that comes from the prosecution. I mean, I think he made that very clear. And if you saw the wounds in the pictures that Reddington put up in his opening of Lindsay's neck, you and I can look at them and know that they weren't superficial. So if you feel compelled to go look at those photos, they are out there. You can look at them. They were in the opening statements. But I thought he did a great job, like really nailing down what these first responders were seeing and what they were reporting. And the prosecution really wanted them to use a very specific language that the jury would understand and think, oh, well, she didn't really, I mean, I don't know why they're going with this line, this argument that she didn't really, like it was a fake unaliving attempt. I mean, I think that is the weakest thing that they're saying here. I don't understand why they're hammering that home. I think it's really, really, really weak. Okay, hold on a sec. let's see. Okay, I'll get through some of these comments in just a moment. Let's move on to Daniel Daugherty. This is Daniel. There's Daniel. Daugherty testified. He was on really quick. He was up there just for a second. Just regarding his role in the emergency response. I mean, it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. I don't get it. I just don't get what they're doing. And then the final witness of the day was this guy, Officer Cahill. Vincent Cahill, he's from Duxbury Police Department. So he gives brief testimony about arriving and his duties at the crime scene. I mean, it's all the same shit over and over and over again. We had 10 witnesses and they all said the same thing for the most part. We understand what happened at this scene. The only thing of importance I think that happened on day three was that the prosecution was focusing more on Lindsay, like really pushing this narrative that Lindsay faked it. She faked her unaliving attempt. And part of that testimony came out. Let me see if I can find this really quickly. Hold on a second. Take this off the screen. Part of that testimony came out when they were talking, if you remember, there was testimony from Patrick. This was on cross-examination from the defense. Patrick is Lindsay's ex-husband, father of the children. Reddington showed Patrick some pictures of the window that had what appeared to be blood on the window and then blood underneath the window. And he had Patrick testified basically that he had filled some holes that a woodpecker had made in the side of the house with red foam, basically. That foam looked like blood. And so one of the first responders yesterday testified that he looked up. It was a little bit leading, if you ask my opinion, even though I'm not really a lawyer. But the prosecution was leading the witness by saying, did you have an opportunity to look up while you were taking care of Lindsay? So let me pull that up really quick. Give me just a second. See if I can find this. Yeah, this is it. Okay. So this is going all the way back to Stephen Hall. This was the first witness of the day. Is that right? Yeah. This is the guy who Reddington thought about cross-examining, but decided not to. And what he's taught, I'm going to play this for you because this isn't really too graphic, but I just want you to hear what he has to say. Hold on, let me make sure it's on the stage. Okay.
And did you happen to look up?
Yes, I did.
What did you see when you looked
Objection.
Up?
There was an open window with blood marks around the window.
And did you also see blood marks on the shingles below that window?
I did.
Showing you a photograph here. So up at the top, is this the open window you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay, so
coming in on the shingles here to the left and right, just below that window, are those the blood marks you're referring to?
Yes.
And here in the photograph, you had mentioned marks, blood marks on the upper window. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
I honestly don't know what the prosecution is going for here. I think they're trying to tell the jury that Lindsay did not launch herself out of the window to try to unalive herself. They're saying that she climbed. That's what it seems like to me. They're trying to tell the jury, they're trying to spin this narrative that Lindsay like slithered down. I'm not sure what they're trying to say. She might have just leaned out the window, you know what I mean? And part of her body might have touched the side of the house before she fell. But the idea that they're trying to parse out whether she launched herself or whether she sort of slithered down, which doesn't make any sense, you guys. Why would you do that? You'd be risking not unaliving yourself, which obviously happened. So what does it matter? Anybody who slides down the side of the house, which is like a 20-foot drop, or launches them out of the house, it's going to have similar effect, right? Am I right? Am I wrong? What do you guys think? That's weird to me.
And then here at the top of the lower window, these marks here, are those the other blood marks that you saw?
Yes.
If we could have these photos marked as the next
gets. They may be admitted.
I think this is the guy who gets emotional, maybe.
While you were out there in the backyard, did you see a ripped or... Oh, I'm sorry. 105 to 108. While you were outside, did you see any ripped or torn screens on the ground?
No.
What did you do next?
I just went over to the paramedic, asked what I can help him with. He said she was good, but she kept taking her face mask off for oxygen. And so I just kept replacing it back onto her face.
And when you say she, are you referring to Lindsay Clancy?
Yes.
Okay.
And did you then help them get the stretcher to the...
So that was pretty much the extent of the blood on the side of the house. Again, I don't understand what the prosecution is going for. Can you guys give me some insight? Because I'm not understanding it at all. Okay. Let's go through some comments right quick. Today, I believe they're starting around 9, but they're doing the view at the house. And I believe that's mostly going to be today. If anything else happens, if they come back and they do any testimony, I'm obviously going to be covering that on Monday. But Okay, let me get through some comments. Okay, let's go through some of the starred comments here. Aaron. My mom is a retired physician and boomer, and when my daughter was dealing with mental health crisis and her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend was being an ass about meds, I cited this case as to why not to throw meds at her. I'm glad that this helped you in some way, because it's a lot. Amanda said, hard no, not a vacation. I have an almost 16-year-old daughter. You'll have fun, but not a vacay. It'll be a vacay for Sunday night, Monday night, which will be good, but the rest of it's going to be just chaos, I'm sure. I mentioned Lexi and the floating hearts. Okay. I hope the first responders are getting help as well. Secondary PTSD is a real thing. Oh, show. Yeah, they need it. I mean, these people are obviously traumatized by what they saw. And I would be too, and so would you probably. Hedgehog in space. I'm late, but I just wanted to say thanks for being such an excellent and safe place to work through this complicated case. I am happy that you're here, and I'm happy that you feel that way about it. It is a very difficult case, difficult for everyone. Men, women, parents, non-parents. It's just awful. So I'm glad that we're able to work through this together, and we're trying to keep it a safe space, and we're trying to keep it healthy as much as we can. Invisible Woman 5, watch Justice Serve from last night. They had a psychiatrist on explaining what the medications can do to a person. Yes, Justice Serves is doing a great job covering this case as well. I would say there are several people, several of my fellow content creators who are covering the case well. Justice Serves is one of those places. Also on Twitter, you can read some of what Judge Erskine is saying. She worked in family court in Massachusetts for a very long time and has some opinions about this. Justice Served is doing a great job. Sam Beningo is covering the mental health aspect of things. And then for the legal analysis, Justice Served and Defense Diaries are doing a really good job. So please go check out their channels, give them a like and a subscribe, and watch their content. Jess said she deserves our scorn just for that bow. I'm going to agree with you, Jess. I will agree with you. Emily C. says she never in caps wore a bow during the pretrial hearings. It's like she's trying to send a message about Cora to the jury, and it's just gross. Agreed. It's so gross. I don't know what she's doing. Maybe it's her lucky bow. Maybe she wears a bow for trial. Who knows? I'm just saying, says, I feel like it may have the opposite effect. The prosecution wants repeating over and over could numb them to some degree. Yeah, I think that at some point you just like tune out, because any detail that you're going to garner from these first responders is not going to change what happened. And it's not going to say whether Lindsay did the thing she did or not, because Lindsay has already admitted to it. So all of the details of this is just to garner sympathy for the children, which I think everyone sitting on this jury already feels sorry, you know, and thinks this is horrific and feels bad for the kids and bad for Patrick. Giving us all these details of the crime scene does not shed any light on Lindsay's mental stability at the time, in my opinion. Amanda said she both faked her unaliving, but also took the children with her because she was controlling and no one could take care for them. Question. And can both of these things make sense? I don't think so. I don't think so either. I think that even the question isn't sane. You know, like, even who's going to take care of these kids? I'm the only one who can do this. And I'm also going to get rid of myself. Doesn't make any sense, you guys. It doesn't make any sense. Chloe, there is court today, but they are going on The View. So I don't know if they'll come back and do any testimony. It's Friday. I feel like this court is not interested in anything like that. But I will definitely give you guys a recap if it happens today. Yes, hung outside the window and dropped down is what they're saying. Even if you hang outside the window and drop down 20 feet, you are going to sustain serious injuries on top of already she had taken all those crushed up pills and those were already in her system. And she had tried to unalive herself at the wrist and neck. So this was her like trying to put a stamp, like trying to put a period at the end of the sentence. Whether she slithered down the wall or like dove out like she was diving into a swimming pool, doesn't matter. It's 12 feet plus 5, just to be clear. Miss Liss and user 7R7T, whatever. It's 12 feet from the window to the ground, but there was a 5 foot, there was a 5 foot space in there as well. I don't know what that comes from, but I remember hearing. So 18 feet, let's say 18 feet, even if it was 12 feet, let's say 12 feet. I don't care. If she launches herself out the window at 12 feet, she's going to sustain horrific injuries. If she slithers down the wall at 12 feet, she's already injured her neck and her wrists and has taken a boatload of medicines to overdose on. So either way, like Spider-Man says, Reddington. Yeah, what are they doing? What are they talking about? You can't, even if you slither down a 12-foot wall, you're still landing on your head. I mean, she got paralyzed because she landed on her head. Like, at the end of the day, she's paralyzed. The injury she sustained, like Reddington explained, is like when someone dives into either a shallow pool or a shallow, like water, body of water, and you hit your head on the ground or you hit your head on a rock, it's the jamming of it that makes you paralyzed. So whether it's 12 feet or 18 feet or 20 feet, doesn't matter because she fell on her head and she's paralyzed. So the goal was to survive paralyzed. This is truly absurd. Absolutely. Completely absurd. Did she fake all of her broken bones and shattering her spine too? Cindy Boxer wonders. Centipede Nerd says, who cares how she did it? She clearly went out the window in a dramatic fashion that shattered her body. I don't understand what their point is. Me either. I really don't. I really don't understand their point. Yeah. Simna, if faking it, why not just run outside and lay on the ground? She's already injured her neck. She's already injured her wrist. And she's already in the process of an overdose. Why even go outside? Just lay down. Like, she took the extra step because she knew that she hadn't completed the task, unfortunately. Hey, Debbie, thanks for the tip. $20. Thanks for sending $20 and enjoy your mini vacation. Thanks. I will try. I'm getting a massage today. That's the most important thing. Thank you so much for the $20 tip. That's really generous of you and I appreciate it. She wouldn't have the injuries she has if she hung down and only dropped like 6 or 7 feet. We don't know. That's the bottom line. And unless they get a forensic expert in that can detail the height of the blood on the side of the house and the injuries she sustained and da, 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 da. And even at the end of that, even if they prove that she slithered or Spider-Man down the side of the house, she's paralyzed. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Good morning, bestie. Good morning, Brun. Tell me how you pronounce it. The bow is stupid, Nutrix said. Lori says she landed on her head, for fuck's sake, with an angry emoji. These prosecutors are horrible and cruel. I just think that they're like grasping at straws. And so they're definitely coming off as horrible and cruel because they're grasping at straws because they have no case. This is crazy that we're even in this courtroom, that the taxpayers are paying for this. It's disgusting. Yeah. Cindy says also, If she was in psychosis, she clearly wasn't making informed choices. Yeah. Kelsey Fitzsimmons, Emily C. says, Kelsey Fitzsimmons said she did the same thing when she didn't want to survive. Let's see. Yeah, and I think that I think the jury is looking at this and they're saying she had to have had some pretty strong intent because she's paralyzed. Like she didn't just I keep imagining either like coming out the window feet first, holding onto the sill and maybe dropping down. That could be one way. But then she wouldn't have fallen on her head necessarily. I mean, and maybe she would have, I don't know. If she went out head first and like had her arms against the side of the house and was trying to fall that way, she had no way of knowing whether she was going to be paralyzed or not. That's my point. Either way, she fell on her head and she is paralyzed. Yeah. Jess said she had more than just a head injury. She crushed multiple vertebrae and had multiple broken ribs. I mean, Kevin Reddington laid it out in that cross he did. You know, he like L7, L da, 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 da. He did all the L's. Oh, this is interesting, Emily. Emily C. said, ooh, ooh, and then she raised her hand. The prosecution is going for, you thought Karen, Kelsey, TB, Penny McGee, Stefan Diggs was bad. Watch this. The Mass DAs are in a heated competition for the lowest of the low, in my opinion. Now you can go to the Justice Serves Justice Served YouTube channel. That's where you can view the psychologist or psychiatrist that they had on. I think... Joy said, I think the prosecutor went to the school of Lally for case presentation, bring in every witness in chronological order. And she often ends her questions with, tell us this, 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 and this, if any. You know, just like him. Cindy said, if an adult woman lawyer has a lucky bow, we are cooked. Defense Diaries is great, Allison says. I concur. Okay. D. Cool said, sorry to be an idiot, but The View, like with Whoopi Goldberg, or a field trip, not The View, the show. They're going to do a viewing of the crime scene. I know. Okay, guys. Everyone in the chat's like, it was 12 feet, not 20. Okay, fine. Fine. I will give it to you. I don't care. It's 12 feet. She fell on her head and is paralyzed, whether it's 12 feet or 18 feet or 20 feet. And whether she slithered down the side or didn't. Yeah, I think that there is going to be testimony. It depends on how long The View takes. So there probably will be testimony later today. And I might be able to jump back on depending on our schedule with the children. I do have space in the house, though, to podcast. So I'm excited about that. We're just Airbnb. Yeah, C. Chin, this is a really good... This is good positing right here. She possibly could have hung out and then pushed off the wall. Either way, she still fell on her head. Audrey says, I'm a little behind in the live, but the prosecution has to be setting up the idea that Lindsay was staging everything, not an actual attempt to end her life, but to make it look like she tried. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But what's the goal? Like, she has already unalived the children. And now she's trying to unalive herself. she did all the things, whether she staged it or not. She did all the things that she, if she staged it, like allegedly, let's say if she allegedly staged this scene, she still did all the things. You don't, if your husband finds you in the backyard and you're paralyzed with a gigantic laceration to your neck and wrists, you still did all the things. The prosecution is being dumb if that's what they're doing. The point is to make people not want to move to Massachusetts, Lori says. Maybe. Mom of a medic says, I don't think she slid down the outside wall. I think it's the foam residue. I think she jumped. She came out of that window. Let's just say that. End of story. She somehow came out of that window. When you have nothing, you argue in the weeds, Elena says. Yes. Corn Pope says she wasn't in her right mind. Exactly. That's the point. And in your opinion, chat, is the prosecution proving beyond a reasonable doubt that she was sane in this moment? Okay. Hedgehog says, my only conclusion is that that Massachusetts hates women. The state cannot punish Lindsay Clancy more than she's punishing herself, but that won't stop them from trying. I have to agree with you. That's what it feels like to me. I mean, I know that's an extreme opinion, but that's what it feels like to me too, that this state hates women. Corn Pope says, my aunt is quad because she dove into a lake from someone's shoulders. She didn't plan this. I'm so sorry that your aunt sustained those injuries. It's awful. And I agree. Okay. Hedgehog says, literally comes down to, can the Commonwealth make the jurors blind with rage before the defense shows them reality? Yep, I think that's what they're doing. And I don't think it's going to work, but it's my opinion. It just takes one person. It just takes one person. This is a very strong point, and this was from Justice Served. Just a Girl from the Six says, it made so much sense when the doctor last night on Justice Served TV said he thinks she had SSRI toxicity. Yeah. The amount of meds she was on, off and on, off and on, off and on, it was awful. Her intent wasn't to live, Mama of a Medic says. I agree. Okay. Oh, Canadian Bimbo. Love your name. Said, I love Mel's streams. Nothing at all against Rebecca, but Mel is better fit to cover this case. She's just a bit more empathetic. Thank you for covering this awful case, Mel. Rebecca is super empathetic, but she's also cynical because she's been doing this for so long. I appreciate your comment, though. It's very sweet of you. I just get more riled up and yell. So, yeah. And she usually calms me down. Well, she doesn't really calm me down, but she's definitely the voice of reason more often than not. So. Kimma said, if any makes me insane. Why have so many lawyers gotten on that train? It adds nothing. We're talking about Lally's, if any. Yeah. The View typically lasts an hour. That the show, that is. I haven't watched The View. I don't know if I've ever watched The View. I know they have a rotating cast of characters. I do love Ana Navarro, though. She's one of my favorite people in politics and on that show. This is a great point. CC Beaches said she was a gymnast. She could have done a backflip out the window. Either way, she's paralyzed. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the prosecution is trying, Jess says, the prosecution is trying to say she is so selfish and cruel that she unalived the kids but couldn't bring herself to unalive herself. It doesn't even make sense, though. That doesn't even, I mean, yes, yes, I agree with you. That's what they're saying. But it just doesn't make sense, you know? Yeah, I think you all know. Amanda, who's been a member for 2 months. Thank you for being a member for 2 months, Amanda. Members only are worth every penny. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Okay. Yeah, I think about this a lot too, Kimma. I keep thinking about those videos where they were doing cool things with their kids, like the water park. They seem to be awesome, involved parents, which simply makes me think this is more tragic. Yep. Oh, another mother is in the courtroom. I already feel nauseous. Eesh. And they're already at sidebars. Yeah, court has started for the day. And unfortunately, I am going to have to take off because I have to get on the road. But I just want to tell you all, I appreciate you all so much. Thank you so much for all the tips that you sent through this morning. It helps immensely. Like I said before, like I say all the time, we do a lot of work on the show. And we also really love what we do. And your tips and your memberships and your super chats and your jewels, all of it makes this so worthwhile, and it's so helpful because we can pay our bills and we can keep doing this, and we love it. So I'm glad that we're able to keep doing this. Snark Tank Cupcake says, I'm catching up from behind, just checking in. And I believe that everyone who thinks she's just evil has never battled mental health issues or tried medications. I agree 100%. Thanks for saying so, Snark Tank. Glad to see another cupcake in here. We love Melanie. We love our cupcakes. And I'm going to keep an eye. I'm going to be listening and watching. Well, listening, not watching, because I'll be driving, but I'll be listening to court today. And if I can make some time tonight, I will try to do an update. If not, I will see you back here on Monday at 9:30 a.m. with Ms. Emily C. And we're going to be talking a little bit about this case, but we're also going to be talking about the FOIA and Find Out site that Emily and Kyle and Dee Dee and all these amazing people have gathered information for us and put together in like a concise and clear way. So we're going to be digging through some of those files that we haven't talked about before. And I'm really, really, really excited about that. So I will try to come back tonight if I can. If not, don't hate me. And if I can't come back tonight, maybe I'll try to jump on over the weekend for a quick stream about what happened today. But know that I'm going to be wrangling 6 17-year-old girls at the beach. Good times. Okay. Love y'all. Take care. Take care of yourselves. If you can't watch this, don't watch it. Just really take care of yourselves. You don't have to sit through this. If you want to hear the commentary and you want to hear the recaps, that's one thing. But don't feel like you have to sit through and get every little detail, because it's too much. I'm just putting that out to you, the Commonwealth. It's far too much what you're doing. And I really am looking forward to Kevin Reddington putting on a case. So see you all soon. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Go outside and get in the sun and touch some grass and love on each other. And we'll be back soon. Mwah. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, allegedly. I'm smart.
Happy Monday, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie. Happy gay summer, Mel.
Happy hump day, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm not humping anybody. I'm Rebecca Lavoie.
Happy Saturday, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
Oh, no.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, and my mic is muted.
Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, and that's Briscoe.
And welcome to Something's Off, a true crime podcast where we swat the haters aside with our astute takes and humor and joy.
The joylessness of those people. Blags.
You hear it first in the break in the story. One little crack and the whole thing gets wary. A witness swears, but the timeline bends. A smile too smooth and the trail just ends. Mel Barrett says, hold up, look again. Rebecca follows every thread. If it feels too neat, then it's not the truth. There's a shadow line running through the room. Something's off, something's off. You can feel it in the bones. Something's off, something's off.
shape.
This is literally Jimmy, because it's 100. It's been happening for the past like day.
Oh dear God! Everywhere's a hotspot when Dr. Wolf is on the TV. Am I right? Everywhere's a hotspot when Dr. Wolf is on the TV. I'm sorry. This is very funny.
What are you laughing about?
Because you're just sitting there waiting for the video to start.
I was listening this whole time. You
listening to what? You're not playing anything, and now you're frozen. God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Let me text Mel. Let me call Mel. I'm going to call Mel.
No, I'm not answering your call. I'm not doing it. Why is it? Oh, Jesus.
Maybe go back on the Wi-Fi.
I am back on the Wi-Fi. Can you hear me now? Can we do the show now? Should we do the show now? Rebecca? Rebecca, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Hello, internet! Hello!
Hello? Hello, worldwide interwebs. Can you hear me? Let's do this. I have to look at my phone over here.
We're gonna go members only. We're the ones who chase. Yeah, we're the ones who chase. Wait, did that witness just blink three times? Something's up.